So I have a question for us this morning. How deep are your roots? And ladies, I'm not talking about your hair. Roots are very important if you're a plant, especially if you're a tree. For that's how trees get sustenance, how water gets up to the branches, to the leaves. That's how seeds and fruits are produced, and that's how they stay upright. Last week, Stephen was speaking to us about the risen Christ challenging God's people at Ephesus to remember their first love, with the application to us that as things begin to reopen, we shouldn't unthinkingly resume activities just for their own sake. We need to remember that our mission as a congregation is to know Christ and lovingly make him known. That the Lord Jesus is our first love. So today we're asking a prior question, how can we ensure that will happen? And if Jesus Christ needs to be the church's one foundation, how can we make him so? And to help us, we're looking at Psalm 1 that Jeff read for us. It's the first psalm, but it's also the entry point to the whole book, setting the agenda for what follows in the rest of the psalms. It's important to start with the first one, as during these months of July and August, we'll be looking at a selection of psalms. Summer in the Psalms, we're calling it. This psalm, this first one, tells us that there are only two options for us while we're living here on earth. Either we're for God or we're against him. Either we desire to go his way or we want to go our own way. Of course, that's not only in the Bible, it's not only in the Psalms, it's all through the Bible. Here are the present and ultimate destinies of men and women. The psalm sets two alternative destinies before us. So we must consider our choices very carefully. One way leads to life and one to death. Let's look at the second part of the psalm first. It illustrates those who are not godly, but are, as the psalm says, wicked. They've made their choice to live a life without reference to God. The wicked are those who actively and intentionally do not believe in God, who do not take God into account. The psalmist says they're like the byproduct of the thrashing process, i.e. chaff, which is of no substance and gets blown away by the wind. Sadly, as verse 5 tells us, in the end, they will lose everything as they wither. Today is a day when most people, including many Christians, have discounted and dismissed any thought of God's judgment. They think it's of a past time. But we shouldn't miss this warning. For of course, Jesus himself spoke about it in Matthew 7. Jesus sets out the two alternative destinies in Matthew 7. He contrasted the wide gate and the narrow gate, the wide road and the narrow road, the one that leads to destruction and the one that leads to life. And as it says on the slide, we ought to strive to enter through the narrow gate. But let's focus on the first part of the psalm. Those who live a life blessed by God. Here's a description that's first negative and then positive. Those who are blessed are applauded first for what they don't do and then commended for what they do. Those the Lord counts blessed do not shape their lives by taking the advice of people who have no regard for him. They don't constantly associate with people who persistently do the wrong thing. Note the downward progression. Blessed is the man or the woman, the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Walk, stand, sit. There are many who are increasingly cynical about spiritual things in our society and our community. We do well to avoid constantly associating with them. But second, what should those who are blessed do positively? Basically, the man or woman of God loves God's word. The law of the Lord is not just about the Ten Commandments, or even the regulations given by Moses, but all that God has revealed about himself and how he wants us to live. But it's not just about loving it, it's about absorbing it as well. Verse 2 speaks about meditating upon it, which suggests constantly chewing over the Word of God until we are digesting all the good things it contains. Some of us are farmers. Enough of us live in the area and see cattle sitting, chewing the cud. They are ruminants, they are ruminating, they are passing, without going into the details of it, they are passing the grass from one of their stomachs to the other. They're taking all the good things out of it, and we ought to do that from God's word as well. I've just started a book which comes to me very commended. It's called Sensible Shoes. It's a story about a spiritual journey by the four women who are pictured. It's a novel, but it has lots of spiritual lessons in it. And there's a bit about how we read God's word, and I want to read that section to you. In our information overload culture, we've lost the art of lingering over words. Often when we read, we hurry through the material as quickly as possible, skimming for main ideas. But that kind of reading is counterproductive to spiritual formation. While it's essential to read God's word, we must also allow God's word to read us. Many people study the Bible without ever being shaped by the text. When we come to the word with our own agenda, we put ourselves in the position of control. We may look for what we get out of it rather than ever allowing the word to get into us. We easily forget that reading the Word of God is meant to be a supernatural act of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be listening to the Word with the ears of the heart. That's challenging, isn't it, as to how we read the Bible. When we delight in God's Word, when we meditate on it, we'd be like trees planted beside a stream. Here's a familiar picture. It's part of the River Jordan, and you can see trees planted beside it. But the image that the psalmist gives us needs to include a more desert-like country than we're accustomed to, where the stream is really vital to the tree's well-being. Such a tree will flourish because its roots have ready access to water, even when the surrounding countryside might be barren. The image points to people who are deeply rooted in God, who are able to depend on His wisdom, and being constantly refreshed, they will constantly bear fruit. And we know from Jesus that bearing fruit is one of the evidences that we are in a living connection to the true vine. Many of the Psalms are written by people who are in difficult situations and are crying out to God. One of the things I realized afresh during the early stages of lockdown is that over 40% of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, prayers in pain that lead us back to trusting in the grace of God. And as we trust in the grace of God, as we have our roots deeply in Him and in His Word, so then we can continue to be fruitful even when situations are difficult. As we trust and obey what God teaches in the Bible, we can continue to stand firm and not be swayed from the truth when the winds of trouble and turmoil blow. If we have our roots in God's Word, then we can continue to find spiritual nourishment so we can stay strong in the Lord. These are anxious and distracted times. We need to find ways to be shaped by God's Word and by the power of the Spirit to embody its message in our lives. Some of you will realize that today, the 4th of July, is Independence Day in the USA, the day to celebrate and honor those who established that country. Unfortunately, for many people, every day is Independence Day. Independence Day from God, a day to assert themselves and their own agenda. But, as the Psalm tells us, two ways, two destinies, our way or God's way. So I pose a few questions for us. How deep are our roots in God? Are our roots growing deeper in the Word, the written Word? Do we read it daily, or if not daily, then regularly? Do we meditate on it, ruminate on it? What about reading with others? I wonder if we think too much about the application before we listen to what God might be saying to us. If you're using daily bread, last Sunday had a note on this psalm which included a reference to the writer's friend who was able to resist the temptation to have an affair because the words of Psalm 119 verse 11 came to mind. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And above all, the question, are you connected to Him who is the living Word, even Jesus Christ? And as I come to a close, let me tell you about Alex. I was looking at the notes I had written when I last spoke on this psalm. I met Alex just before I spoke the last time on this psalm. I was on a flight from Aberdeen to Belfast. He, like many on that flight, was an oil worker. He worked in an oil rig 28 days on, 28 days off. In some ways, he was a rough character. He didn't have the support of weekly worship, even when he was at home. He described himself as a backslider, but he read his Bible daily, and he'd seen the Lord answer various prayers in recent months. He was certainly connected, and he was fruitful in his life. This first psalm affirms the basic spiritual truth that living in connection with the one who gives life is itself the means of blessing. And the good news for each one of us is that God makes that possible in Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God, by His Spirit, will enable our roots to go deep into Him and into His Word. And as we come, as we finish and come to pray, I want to use a prayer written by Chandran Devanasan, who's an Indian Christian. Let us pray. O tree of Calvary, send thy roots deep down into my heart. Gather together the soil of my heart, the sands of my fickleness, the stones of my stubbornness, the mud of my desires. Bind them all together, O tree of Calvary. Interlace them with thy strong roots, and entwine them with the network of thy love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.